This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. A winter weather advisory remains in effect until 6 o'clock tonight for portions of northwest Minnesota, northeast and southeast North Dakota. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Blake Rafferty says strong northwest winds and blowing snow expected to create reduced visibility and hazardous travel conditions, especially during the morning and evening commutes.
There's kind of two areas of concern further south. There's some mixed precipitation, some freezing rain this morning, so got to watch out for slick spots. And then in the north, winds are on the increase, and they should increase here towards the morning commute, and that'll cause areas of blowing and drifting snow, reducing visibility through the morning and maybe even persisting into the afternoon hours.
Rafferty says wind gusts could reach 40 to 50 miles per hour at times, leading to drifting snow and brief whiteout conditions, especially in open areas, while additional snowfall expected to be light, that's still going to make travel difficult.
Could be a little more light snow, but accumulations, not looking at much, up to an inch at most. Very light. The worst looks to be during the morning hours, and then we should see improvement, you know, during the afternoon. So if you're traveling this morning especially, take some extra time and proceed with caution.
The Trump administration considering a new round of national security tariffs following last week's Supreme Court decision that struck down many of the president's second-term trade levies. The proposed tariffs would target industries such as large-scale batteries, industrial chemicals, plastic piping, and power grid and telecom equipment under Section 232 authority. Unlike the tariffs invalidated by the court, Section 232 levies tied to national security were not affected and can be adjusted by the president once in place. Commerce Department investigations would need to be completed before any new tariffs are imposed, but the move signals the administration is looking for alternative legal pathways to reshape U.S. trade policy. That Supreme Court decision removing the ability of the president to impose broad tariffs does not end trade uncertainty. The administration already pivoting to other legal tools. Legal experts say more court fights are likely, and major questions remain about trade deals negotiated under the now invalid tariff threat. The Supreme Court decision created that new uncertainty across the commodity markets. Traders now trying to figure out what comes next and how alternative trade measures from the White House could shift global buying patterns.
We're going to have to give it some time to work through everything that is being put out right now as far as what President Trump's alternatives are, and how that especially reacts in the markets, the gold market, the dollar currency markets. Those are two of the biggest markets that I think have been able to underpin us and give us extra potential buying power by the funds and keep the potential sellers and the keep potential bears out of the market.
Global commodity analytics and consulting president Mike Zuzulo says the reaction in outside markets like gold and the U.S. dollar will be key in determining whether fund money continues to support commodities. Without the tariff pressure, China may feel less urgency to purchase U.S. soybeans, potentially shifting demand back towards South America.
This really puts a different lens and color of a lens on what is going to happen between the United States and China. China is not going to be as pressured as much to buy our soybeans. And so the discount in South America, especially Brazil versus U.S. beans, I think is a lot more important than it was on Thursday afternoon versus Friday afternoon.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the Supreme Court decision striking down the tariffs under the 1977 Emergency Powers Law brings clarity, but also raises new questions about trade policy and Congress's constitutional role.
Iowa farmers have been telling me they need more certainty, and today's Supreme Court gave us some additional clarity on a tariff. I've said repeatedly Congress needs to reassert its constitutional role over commerce. And let me repeat what that is. One of the 18 powers that Article 1 of the Constitution gives Congress to legislate in is the power to regulate interstate and foreign commerce.
President Trump will use his State of the Union address to argue his economic agenda is working and that stronger growth is ahead. The speech comes as his approval ratings slide and voters remain frustrated over the cost of living. Trump expected to highlight tax cuts, investment pledges, and affordability proposals while vowing to rebuild his trade strategy after the Supreme Court struck down key tariffs. But with polling weak and political headwinds building, the address doubles as an early kickoff to the midterm campaign. The address will be tonight. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The global sugar market is facing mounting pressure, and that is spilling into the domestic outlook as USDA adjusts sugar allotments for U.S. producers. American Sugar Alliance Director of Economics and Policy Analysis Rob Johansson says the tone globally is clearly bearish.
And what we're seeing right now is certainly an expectation of global surplus this year, a global surplus next year. That's weighing on prices. It's a very bearish situation right now. We're looking for news. Any kind of weather news that comes out is going to push prices up or down in the global market. But internally to the U.S., we're seeing record production, which is a good thing. Obviously, prices are weak. We'd like to see them, you know, see some strength. And we're waiting to that's going to rely on what happens in the global market. So we're looking to that right now.
Johansson says USDA currently projecting higher sugar imports from Mexico next year, though final access levels will not be determined until July. At the same time, USDA recently reallocated domestic sugar beet allotments.
Yes, of course, as part of the One Big Beautiful Bill, USDA was required to do their reallocation of allotments roughly a month after the January WASD. We'll do this as a matter of course. Generally speaking, later in spring, this doesn't preclude USDA from doing it again. So the first initial allocation redistribution that was done did include some changes. We did see record production last year across most regions, but not all regions, so that's part of it. But also, we know that the Brawley factory out in California is no longer producing, and so that's a big reason for some of that reallocation.
Johansson says while production has topped 5 million tons for multiple years, regional weather challenges and shifting acreage continue to shape allotment decisions. Farmers and conservation groups have filed a lawsuit challenging the EPA's reapproval of dicamba herbicide for use on genetically resistant cotton and soybeans. The plaintiffs argue the decision ignores years of documented drift damage and claim the agency failed to adequately address environmental and crop injury concerns. The suit also questions whether new application restrictions will meaningfully reduce off-target movement to neighboring farms and backyard gardens. The case marks the latest chapter in the long-running dicamba battle, adding fresh legal uncertainty for growers heading into the upcoming planting season. U.S. pork exports posting one of their strongest years ever in 2025, reaching the second highest value on record, $8.4 billion, the third largest volume overall. Strong demand from Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean helped offset lower shipments to China. Beef exports, however, falling 12% in volume for the year, largely due to the limited access to China, even as global demand remains solid elsewhere. Lamb exports were a bright spot, climbing 38% in volume to their highest level since 2013, led by growing demand in Mexico and Canada. New data from the Renewable Fuels Association shows the U.S. ethanol industry hit a record $7.6 billion in export value in 2025. The surge was driven by a record 2.18 billion gallons of ethanol exports and 11.6 million metric tons of distillers' grain shipments. Ethanol exports alone reaching a record $4.8 billion, with Canada setting a new high as the top destination at more than 792 million gallons. The U.S. remaining a net exporter for the 16th straight year, with imports making up less than 0.1% of domestic consumption. Panama's government has seized control of two major ports at the entrances of the Panama Canal after the country's Supreme Court ruled the longtime operating contract unconstitutional. The move ends decades of control by Hong Kong-based C.K. Hutchison, which says it halted operations after officials arrived and threatened criminal action. The takeover comes amid broader U.S.-China tensions over influence in Panama. The government says port operations and jobs will continue under temporary management while a new contract is awarded. Meanwhile, C.K. Hutchison has launched international arbitration proceedings, setting up what could be a lengthy legal battle. Sign up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. Closes Thursday. The National Milk Producers Federation urging dairy farmers to enroll, calling the program a key risk management tool to help weather volatile margins. It's the first sign-up since the program was reauthorized last year. Includes coverage improvements, along with a 25% premium reduction for producers who make a long-term commitment. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Throughout this national FFA week, we are sharing stories from FFA alumni. The FFA week salutes made possible by the Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council, Hefty Seed, Minnesota Corn Growers Association, Minnesota Farm Bureau, ProSeed, and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Botno, FFA chapter alum and North Dakota Soybean Council Director Philip Neubauer, is a farmer today because of the time spent in FFA.
That definitely has shaped my career into what it has been. I would say I probably didn't want to farm back then, but getting involved in the agronomy contest, my advisor pushed me to it, and I, youngest of four siblings, they all were in FFA contests. The agronomy contest was my favorite. So farming with the agronomy really kind of pushed me into going to NDSU, pursuing a crop and weed science degree, which I graduated with in 2018. And I guess I just really thank FFA, and I hope all the other young kids want to get involved with it.
Neubauer says the FFA is for everyone.
You know, FFA is for everybody, whether you grew up with agriculture or not. It's an event that, or it's an organization that really just it grows future leaders going forward. And I think everybody should give it a shot.
As farmers finalize their plans for what could be a difficult 2026 growing season, North Dakota Department of Ag is offering tools that can help with those preparations.
So right now the economy is looking quite interesting in the ag industry. So what we have as a resource is the North Dakota Farm Management. It is a program for North Dakota farmers and ranchers to have a one-on-one resource to go through balance sheet, income statement, and really knowing that cost of production so that they can look at future options to succeed. Maybe look at some opportunities to expand, but really just knowing the bottom dollar, looking at their operation as a business, and then maybe helping them prosper for themselves, their family, maybe some family farm transition could be in there too.
That's Ag Services Specialist Madison Bonin, who says the program has numerous professionals and specialists who can help answer any questions farmers may have.
So we have 8 different instructors across the state of North Dakota. We have 4 different colleges that the program is ran through. It is BSC, NDSCS, Lake Region, and then the Dakota College of Botno. So there's definitely a wide view of people for them to talk to. And then, of course, at the North Dakota Department of Ag, there's some resources available there, too. So they can definitely give us a call as well. We can point them in the right direction.
Taking a look at markets right now in overnight trade, we're seeing Minneapolis wheat in May down 1.5, 5.95¾. The May Chicago is up 0.5 cent this morning at 5.74¼. March KC, we're down 4 cents at 5.56. The March corn is up 0.5. At 428, July down 3/4 at 448, and March soybeans were down 5.5 now at 11.28¾, and the May is down 5.5 at 11.44¼. Checking the farm calendar, it is a commodity classic in San Antonio going on with the state caucuses all day today, and then things get rolling in earnest with the trade show opening up tomorrow. We'll have full coverage from San Antonio here on the Red River Farm Network.